that our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
And if the precious Holy Spirit has assured you, as he assured me, then I say unto you that we stand fast, that we lift up our hearts, lift up our eyes, for our redemption is draweth nigh.
Good to have Stacy and Joshua with us too in our service today. Appreciate them being here. For our message this morning, let's turn to the book of John, John's Gospel, chapter 1. Let's look down to verse 19, begin reading there. Scripture says, and this is the record of John. That's John the Baptist, by the way, not the other John that wrote it. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" He's out there, you know, in the wilderness, preaching. He's the forerunner of Christ, you know. And he's preaching, calling on the people to repent and getting all the religious crowd upset. What's going on out there in the wilderness? This fellow out there dressed up in that leather suit, eating grasshoppers and wild honey. Such as that. So they sent these guys out. "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ." That is, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not a Messiah. And they ask him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I'm not." "Art thou that prophet?" I don't know who they were referring to, but he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us?" You see, they'd been sent out by the Pharisees. "What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Pardon me. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then?" You can imagine, this was really upsetting to the Jewish community. This guy coming, and multitudes of people were flocking to him out there in the wilderness. And he's calling on them to repent, and he's baptizing them by immersion. "Why baptizest thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I forgot to turn one of the recorders on. And it's not running. We'll have to forget it. Verse 30. John says of Jesus, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Remember when Jesus was baptized? That's what happened. "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, "Master," or which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. That's how Peter got brought to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, I like that. I can just imagine the consternation that was going on among the Jewish community when this happened. You've got these Pharisees around the temple just like ants around a sugar cube, all over the place. And they hear about John out here in the wilderness baptizing the people and preaching. Great crowds of people going out from Jerusalem to see him. And so they send these guys out there and check him out. Who is this fellow? What's he doing? Where does he get his authority? You know, they were, back in that day, they were kind of mixed up concerning the coming of a Messiah. They were looking for Messiah to come. They're looking for him now. I remember when I was over there, they had signs on their taxi cabs running up and down the streets of Jerusalem advertising the fact that Messiah is coming. I thought that was wonderful because he is coming. He is coming. The only thing is, when he comes, they won't know who he is again. They didn't know him the first time. Because they didn't know him the first time, they won't know him, recognize him the second time. They were looking for some of those people there. They had chapter and verse for it in the Bible. They knew that Messiah was coming, and they were looking for a prophet. That's the reason they sent these men out to check John out. Are you the prophet? They were looking for a prophet. You know why? Moses had told them over in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. Listen to this. They'd had this ever since the days of Moses. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, Moses said. Unto him ye shall hearken. So there were some that were looking for a prophet to come. When the prophet comes, the prophet will be the Messiah. But they had another group over here, and they had a chapter and verse for what they believed. They said, no, we're not looking for a prophet. We're looking for a king. We're looking for a deliverer who will come and help us throw off this yoke of Roman bondage and become our king. And we've got a verse to prove it. David said in Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10, Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. They were looking for a throne instead of a cross. They were looking for a throne instead of an altar. And they missed him because they wanted a liberator and not an offering for their sins. Another group off over here in the corner. I mean, they were divided six ways from Sunday. They said, no, the Messiah is not going to be a prophet. He's not going to be a king. He's going to be a priest. A priest. Why do you people say he's going to be a priest? He said, well, David wrote in Psalm 110, verse 4, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's our Sunday school lesson this morning for you that were here. We studied about that in Hebrews chapter 7. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So, you got three denominations. You've got those looking for a prophet, those looking for a king, those looking for a priest to come. And while they were trying to figure out what form the Messiah would take, a virgin gives birth to a baby in Bethlehem. And the Word is made flesh and dwelt among us, and they missed him. They missed him because he was meek and lowly, and he was raised the son of a carpenter in the obscure little village in Galilee called Nazareth. So they send these guys out to interview John. And John, in chapter 1, verse 29 of the Gospel of John, records one of the greatest announcements that's ever been made to mankind in all of his history on the face of the earth. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Then the next day, when John saw Jesus, that announcement was repeated in verse 36. Behold, the Lamb of God. And I'm sure that whenever his disciples heard him say that they all turned and looked to see who he was referring to. And when they saw, they didn't see a lamb. They saw a man. And his name was Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. You know, a similar stunt was pulled on John like this. The one that wrote the epistle here. Gospel. He got caught up to heaven one day. Remember when he was on the Isle of Patmos? He saw heaven opened and heard a voice saying, come up hither! John says, how am I going to get up there? And immediately he was in the Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord caught him up, and he just went whoosh! Right up into heaven through that open door. And when he got up there, he saw God sitting on a throne. And he saw Jesus. And he saw the angels. And he saw everything that was going on up there in heaven. And if you remember, God was sitting there on the throne and he had a book in his hand that was sealed with seven seals. And he said, all right, who's worthy to open this book? And they looked around all over heaven. They couldn't find anybody that was worthy to open the book. They looked down on earth and they couldn't find anybody worthy to open the book. They even searched in the underworld and they couldn't find anybody that was worthy to open the book. John started crying. He said, we'll never know what's in that book. An angel put his arm on on John's shoulder and says, "Weep not. Weep not." He said, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and he's worthy to open the book." Yeah, the lion, I want to see a lion. He turned around to see the lion. He didn't see a lion. He said, "I saw a lamb as it had been slain." See, they pulled a joke on him, didn't they? He was expecting to see a lion, but he saw a lamb instead. And I want to tell you this morning in a few words about this lamb. Did you ever wonder why God used the word lamb in referring to Jesus? He's called a lot of things. I mean, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There's no doubt about that. And he's a lot of things, the Bible tells us. He's the door. He's the true vine. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's this, that, and the other. And he is everything. But he is the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist called him there. The word lamb appears 105 times in your Bible. And in the book of Revelation, it's used 27 of those 105 times. And each time that it's used, it refers to our Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Now, you look like an intelligent conversation, congregation. I'm gonna be good to you today. I'm gonna give you a Greek lesson. Would you like? Me? I'm going to give you a Greek lesson. So listen carefully. I promise I won't make it too complicated. All right? You know, your New Testament was originally written in Greek anyway. Somebody translated it into English. I'm sure glad they did. But you know, the Greeks had a pretty good language. I never learned much of it. I tried it a couple of times, but it was Greek to me. But they have words in their language that we don't have in the English language. They have meanings and they have shades of meanings. And there are two different words in the original writing of the New Testament that are translated into English lamb. And one of those Greek words is amnos, A-M-N-O-S, and it's a true translation when they translate it lamb. And that word amnos is found four times, only four, in the whole New Testament. And each time that it's used exclusively of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's called the Lamb. And we just read two of them right here. The first time is in verse 29 of John chapter 1, when John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God. He is the Amnos, A-M-N-O-S. And the second time is there in verse 36 when he said it again, the Lamb of God. Amnos, Lamb. Let me go ahead and give you the other two. There's only four. The next time that it's used is by Philip. Philip was in Samaria and engaged in a revival meeting, and the Lord said, I got some work for you to do down in the desert. He said, I want you to go down into the desert. And so Philip went down to the desert, stood there looking for a tree, for a shade, finally found a place, and he's sitting there, and directly he hears a chariot coming out there in the desert. And he heard the rumbling of the wheels, and he looked, and there was a fellow that was riding in that chariot from Ethiopia. He'd been to Jerusalem. He'd been up there worshiping the Lord. And he was reading his Bible. He just had the Old Testament. New Testament wasn't written then. And he was reading the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And so the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go join yourself to his chariot. So he went up there, and the driver of his chariot hollered, whoa! Stopped, and Philip introduced himself, and the guy invited him aboard. He says, Philip says to him, what are you reading? Oh, he said, I'm reading here in the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, but it says, I don't understand who it's talking about here. And the Bible says that Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. He showed him Jesus in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And he was reading that part about he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Brought as a lamb. That's an amnos lamb to the slaughter. And, of course, Philip went ahead and won him to the Lord. And they came to an oasis down here. And he said, hey, here's some water. Can I be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip said, that's good enough for me. And he took him, they went down into the water and he baptized him. And the Ethiopian got in his chariot and continued on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he had met the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world in Isaiah 53. Fourth time, Peter gets in this. He tells us over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Where he writes for us. Listen to this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. That's an amnos lamb without blemish and without spot. And of course it's talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, the amnos lamb. And each of these times that word amnos is used for lamb, it speaks of sacrifice. It talks about a lamb that a person would lay his hands on his head and confess his sins, and in confessing his sins were transmitted from him to this innocent little lamb, and his sins were forgiven, and the lamb now is bearing his sins, and he goes to the altar and is killed, and his blood is shed for the sins of this fellow that walks away forgiven. See? Type of Christ. So John's is the first declaration in the New Testament that Messiah must die for the sins of the people before he would reign as king. You get to thinking about it, it was an amnos lamb that was slain by Abel in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4 when he brought his sacrifice to the Lord. It was an Amnos lamb that Abraham and Isaac were talking about when they were climbing up the side of Mount Moriah, going up there to the top where there was a big rock, and they were going to use that rock as an altar, and Abraham was going to offer his son Isaac as an offering on that altar because God had told him to. And as Isaac is struggling under the weight of the wood, as they're climbing this mountain, he says to his daddy, he says, "Daddy, we've got the wood, we've got the sacrificial knife, we've got everything, but where is the lamb for the offering? Where's the lamb?" And his daddy Abraham answered him and he said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." That's the Amnos lamb, the sacrificial lamb. Yonder in Egypt, God said, "Take a lamb, kill it, catch its blood, sprinkle the blood on the sides of the door and over the top of the door, because I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt tonight, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you." It was called the Passover lamb, but it was an Amnos lamb whose blood was shed, whose blood was applied, that saved and secured the safety, we might say, of those who were inside the house, the firstborn of that home. It was an Amnos lamb that Isaiah identified when he said of Jesus in chapter 53, "He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter." Now, I want to refer you to another verse before we close. That's the Amnos lamb. That's the first Greek word. In John chapter 21, in the context, this is after Jesus has already been crucified, buried, rose from the dead the third day, showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days. This is one of those days. And he's up there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's early in the morning. His disciples have been fishing, seven of them, on the sea, and they haven't caught any fish all night. And Jesus is over here on the shore, and he calls out across the water, to make a long story short, and he tells his disciples, "Come and die. Come and die." Feed some breakfast out there. You know what they had for breakfast? They had fish and bread. Good fish and bread. And after breakfast was over, Jesus and Simon Peter stepped over here to the side of the crowd, and Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Wow. Do you love me? Peter answered and said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." You know what Jesus told him after he said, "Yes, I love you"? He said, Peter, feed my lambs. Now the word lamb is the one that we're zeroing in on in this message, right? He said, feed my lambs. Did Jesus have a flock of sheep out here? Yes, he did. You and I. He's the good shepherd, remember? We are the sheep of his pasture. We are his lambs. He said to Simon Peter, feed my lambs. But you know, the lambs that Peter was directed to feed were not Amnos lambs. They were not lambs that had been selected to be sacrificed for sin. They were, and here's the Greek word, arnion, A-R-N-I-O-N, lambs. Not Amnos lambs. You see, when you read your English Bible here, all it says is lambs, lambs. It does, but if you were reading your Greek Bible, it would say arnion, or it would say Amnos. And the sheep, the lesson here is that the sheep of Jesus' flock are not Amnos lambs. They are Arnian lambs. We are the triumphant, the victorious, the powerful, the living, the resurrected, the glorified Arnian lambs of God. Saved by his grace. And all the rest of the times that you find that word lamb in the Bible, it's arnion. That's the word that's used in Revelation, the book of Revelation, 27 times when it refers to Jesus. He's the victorious one. He's the one who rose from the dead the third day. He's the one who conquered hell and won the victory for you and me that we share in. The Amnos lamb is the lamb on the altar of sacrifice, dying for the sins of the world. Don't forget it. But the Arnian lamb is the lamb that's already been sacrificed and has risen triumphant from the grave in majesty and dignity and glory and honor and power and all authority. So we're saved by the blood of John's Amnos lamb, who became our Passover and was sacrificed for us. But we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, the lambs of his flock. But we are the Arnian lambs, the ones that are living in victory over sin and over death and over hell and over the grave. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow today in your presence to thank you for becoming the Lamb. The lamb that was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. The lamb whose blood was shed for the remission of our sins. And we thank you for your grace and your love and mercy that you had toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we're saved today because of your amazing grace. And Father, we thank you today that we are the sheep of your pasture. We are your flock. We're the ones that Peter was directed to feed. We are the Arnian lambs of God, the victorious lambs who live with the power of the resurrected Christ dwelling within our hearts, who live through the power of the Holy Spirit of God to overcome sin and death and hell. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy toward us. And if there's one in this congregation that does not know you as their personal Savior, help them today to realize that they are the ones that Jesus died for. He became the Lamb of God and took away the sins of the world so that we could all be saved. And since we're saved, we become the lambs, the sheep of your flock, the victorious ones. Use this invitation today, Father, to bring into your kingdom those that you would have to be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
496.
496. Let's sing a verse of invitation. Someone here this morning needs Christ. Will you come? Attention you gave to the preaching of God's word. Isn't God good? Well, I'll tell you, his word is wonderful. Now, there's a wonderful meal out there that's been prepared, and we want all of you to stay and enjoy it. Remember that it's in honor of little Noah, who was born the 13th of this month, and we didn't have a baby shower. So this is kind of what it is. You know how little babies, they need a lot of diapers and things like that. Remember that? I'm sure that Dexter and Natasha would appreciate any gift that you would like to give as God lays on your heart. You're not required to do it, but if you have something that you would like to give for them, to honor them and little Noah, there'll be a place out there for you to do it. This dinner today is, that's the occasion of it. And we'll also add Paul to that, down here on the tail end of it somewhere, you know, and kind of being his going away dinner too. And so tell him how much you've appreciated him since God has had him here with us. Oh, it's good to be a Christian.